Okay, so, think about the last time that you hired a contractor, right? Like maybe you had a leaky faucet and you needed to call a plumber, or you needed a graphic designer for your website. You probably had a pretty clear idea of what you wanted, right?
Yeah,
Like
definitely.
you wouldn't just say like, "Hey, fix my website," or
Right.
"just make it look good." You'd probably give them some more instructions.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to.
So it turns out that same kind of mindset of like being able to define your needs and your expectations, that's surprisingly relevant when it comes to AI.
Yeah, it's interesting how we tend to think of managing people
Yeah.
and then managing technology as these completely separate things. But in this article, parallels between managing contractors and managing digital capital.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, Chris Tanzi makes a really compelling argument that the principles of good management, they're universal.
They really are.
They apply across the board.
Yeah, I love that article. It really got me thinking. So in this deep dive, we are going to explore those parallels
Okay.
and see what practical insights we can get from his perspective.
Sound good.
Now, one of the things that I found so fascinating is how this framework helps us make sense of something that can feel really abstract and overwhelming, which is this idea of managing digital capital.
Yeah.
And by that, we mean like all the digital tools and resources.
Right, all the stuff at our disposal these days.
Exactly.
Like it's a lot.
It really is. And it's like, how do we wrap our heads around all that?
Yeah, where do you even begin?
Where do you even begin, right? So Chris starts by talking about the initial setup.
Okay.
And this is where I feel like the contractor analogy really clicked for me.
Yeah, think about it. When you hire a contractor, you don't just say, like,
Right.
fix my house
Right.
or build me an app
Right.
and then hope for the best.
Exactly.
You provide a detailed, brief outlining. You know exactly what you need, what materials you want them to use, what the timeline looks
Oh,
like,
makes sense.
all those kinds of things.
But how does that translate over to the world of AI? I mean, it's not like I can sit down with an algorithm and have a conversation about
Oh,
my
yeah.
needs, right?
The key here, I think, is understanding the concept of a prompt,
Okay.
which is essentially the set of instructions that you give to an AI.
Okay.
And just like that contractor brief, the more specific and detailed your prompt is, the better the results you're going to get.
That makes sense. So let's say I want to use an AI to write a marketing email for me.
Okay.
My prompt can't just be write an email, right?
No, not even close.
I need to be more specific,
Much more.
like way more
Yeah,
specific.
exactly. Think about it like a contract.
Okay.
What's the purpose of this email? Who's the target audience? What kind of tone do you want to convey? What's the key message? What action do you want the recipient to take?
Yeah.
All of those details need to be articulated clearly in your prompt.
Okay, so by being specific up front, I'm setting clear expectations for the AI,
Yeah.
and then I'm more likely to get an output that meets my needs.
Exactly. And it minimizes the back and forth. It reduces the need for revisions. It just
Yeah.
ultimately saves you time and effort.
So it's like you're giving the AI the space to do what it does best.
Precisely. Plus, just like with a human contractor, a clear brief gives the AI more autonomy to do its best work.
I like that.
It can really shine.
So that covers the initial setup,
Yep.
but even with the most detailed brief, I feel like there's still a level of trust involved,
Yeah.
right? I mean, with a contractor, you can meet them face to face,
Right.
get a sense of their experience or expertise,
Yeah.
but how do we build that trust with AI?
That's a great question. And the answer is,
Yeah.
much like with human contractors, trust with AI is earned. It's not given.
Okay.
It's all about track record. It's about
Yeah.
seeing consistent results.
So it's not about blindly trusting any AI that comes along. It's
Oh.
about being discerning,
Yes.
testing different tools, and seeing which ones consistently deliver.
Exactly. And as you gain experience working with different AIs, you'll start to develop an intuition for which ones are reliable
Gotcha.
and which ones might need a bit more hand-holding.
So it's really about trial and error in a way.
Yeah, it can be.
Well, speaking of hand-holding, that kind of brings us to the next parallel,
Okay.
feedback.
Yeah.
Even with a clear, brief, things don't always go perfectly.
Yeah.
Never, right?
Right.
Sometimes you need to give feedback to a contractor, make adjustments along the way. But how does that work with AI?
Remember how we talked about prompts being like contracts?
Yeah.
Think of feedback as a way to renegotiate that contract.
Okay, I'm intrigued. How do we renegotiate with an AI?
By refining the prompt based on the output that you're getting.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
let's say you're using an AI to write social media posts, and the initial output is a little too formal.
Okay.
You can provide feedback by tweaking the prompt, maybe adding a phrase like,
okay,
keep the tone conversational and engaging.
Gotcha. So it's an iterative process. I try a prompt, see what I get,
yeah,
and then refine the prompt based on those results.
Exactly.
Just like you would with a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
You're providing guidance. You're making adjustments. And you're working collaboratively.
I like that.
To achieve the desired outcome.
Collaborative.
Yeah.
Working with the AI.
Exactly.
Not against it.
That's the key.
That's a really good point. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked about setting clear expectations with AI.
Right.
And providing feedback, you know, refining those results.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I'm kind of curious about is like, it's pretty obvious when you need a plumber versus an electrician, right?
Yeah.
But with AI, there are so many different tools and applications out there.
There are.
How do we even know which tool is right for the job?
That's where the right tool for the right job principle comes in.
Okay.
Just like you wouldn't hire a painter to fix your plumbing, you need to be discerning about which AI tool you use for a particular task.
Okay. So how do we make those decisions?
Mm.
I mean, AI can feel like kind of black box sometimes.
It really can.
Like, how do we know what's going on under the hood? Well, it's all about understanding the strengths and limitations of different AI tools.
Okay.
Some AIs are great at generating creative text formats like poems or scripts.
Mm-hmm.
Others excel at analyzing data mm-hmm. and generating insights.
Mm-hmm.
And still others are designed for very specific tasks,
mm-hmm.
like translating languages or creating images.
So it sounds like it's about doing our research, understanding what each tool is actually designed to do, and then selecting the one that best aligns with our needs.
Precisely. And just like with contractors, you might need to consult with experts or do some trial and error
right.
to find that perfect fit.
That makes sense. It's interesting because with contractors, we often focus on their qualifications.
Yeah, their experience.
Right, like their experience, their background.
Uh-huh.
But how do we evaluate those kind of qualifications of an AI?
That's a good question. One way is to look at the data that the AI was trained on.
Okay.
Was it trained on a massive data set of text and code? Or was it trained on a more specialized data set, like financial data or medical records?
Yeah, that makes sense.
The training data will give you clues about the AI's strengths and weaknesses.
So if I'm looking for an AI to help me with like financial analysis, yeah. I probably want to choose one that was trained on a data set of like financial information.
Exactly. And just like you might ask a contractor for references
right.
or examples of their previous work, you can often find examples of an AI's output online.
Oh, cool.
Or in case studies.
That's a great tip.
This can give you a better sense of what to expect from that tool.
Awesome. I'm starting to see how these parallels like really help us navigate this whole AI landscape in a more practical way.
Yeah, it's a useful framework.
But let's shift gears a bit and talk about deliverables.
Okay.
At the end of the day, it's not about how fancy the AI is or how complex the algorithms are.
Right.
It's about the results.
Absolutely. Whether you're working with a human contractor or an AI, the focus should always be on outcome-based evaluation.
So just like I wouldn't micromanage a contractor's every move,
yeah.
I shouldn't get bogged down in the technical details of how the AI is working.
Exactly. What matters is whether the AI is delivering the desired results.
It's like that saying, don't judge a book by its cover.
Right.
Or in this case, don't judge an AI by its algorithms.
I like that.
Right.
That's a good one.
So Chris uses a really interesting example in his article. Mm. He talks about an AI that's designed to write business proposals.
Okay.
And he challenges readers to think about how they would judge the success of that AI.
Interesting.
So it's not about whether the AI wrote the proposal in the same way that a human would.
Right.
It's about whether the proposal is well-written, persuasive, and ultimately helps the company win the contract.
Precisely. The process the AI uses to get there might be completely different from a human's process.
Right.
But what matters is the quality of that final product.
Exactly. Okay, but what about adaptability?
Okay.
Projects change, unexpected challenges arise.
Yeah, that's the reality.
Isn't AI a bit rigid in that sense? Mm-hmm. I mean, once you've kind of set the parameters, it just kind of turns away, right?
That's a common misconception.
Oh, really?
One of the most powerful things about AI is actually its flexibility.
Really?
Yeah.
I always thought of AI as being like very rule-based and deterministic.
Well, that's true to some extent.
Okay.
But the beauty of working with AI is that you can quickly adjust the prompts or algorithms to adapt to new information or changing goals.
So it's not like I'm setting a timer and just waiting for the AI to finish its task.
Right.
I can actually intervene, make adjustments,
yeah.
guide the AI in a new direction if I need to.
Exactly. Let's say you're using an AI to generate marketing copy.
Okay.
and you get some feedback that the tone is too aggressive, you can simply adjust the prompt to emphasize a more friendly and approachable tone.
So instead of being locked into this rigid process, I have the power to like shape and mold the AI's output as the project evolves.
It's very dynamic.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. And it speaks to the power of human AI collaboration.
Okay.
We're not just passively consuming AI's output.
Right.
We're actively engaging with it, shaping it, making it work for us.
This is all so fascinating, but I'm realizing we've barely scratched the surface of this topic.
I know, right?
Chris's article has given us so much to think about.
It really has.
Before we go too far down this rabbit hole, though,
okay,
let's take a quick break.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back, and we'll wrap up our deep dive with some final thoughts on what all of this means for you, our listeners.
Looking forward to it.
Don't go anywhere. All right, so we're back. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a lot less intimidated by AI after that conversation.
Yeah, me too. It's like, I think that's one of the most valuable things that Chris Tansey does in this article.
Yeah.
He takes something that can feel really complex and abstract, like managing digital capital in the age of AI.
Right.
And he just makes it relatable and approachable.
Yeah. It's like he's saying, hey, you don't need to be a tech genius to navigate this whole new world.
Right.
You already have the skills and the mindset that you need.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to apply them in a slightly different way.
And that's a really empowering message. I think a lot of people are feeling anxious about AI.
Yeah.
You know, taking over their jobs or making their skills obsolete.
Yeah.
But what Chris is highlighting is that AI is a tool.
It is.
And like any tool, it can be used for good or for bad.
Right.
It all comes down to how we manage it.
So instead of fearing AI, we should be focusing on how we can use it to our advantage.
Exactly.
How we can leverage its strengths to augment our own skills and, you know, create new possibilities.
It's about seeing AI as a collaborator, not a competitor.
I like that.
It's about understanding its capabilities, its limitations, and then figuring out how to integrate it into our workflows in a way that makes us more effective and more creative.
Yeah, it's like having a super-powered assistant, right?
Right.
Who can process information at lightning speed, generate creative ideas, and automate those tedious tasks. But it's still up to us to provide the direction, the guidance, and the feedback.
Glad to make sure it's on track.
To ensure that the AI is actually working towards our goals.
Exactly. And that's where those parallels with managing contractors become so valuable.
Yeah.
We already have experience with, you know, delegating tasks, setting expectations,
right,
providing feedback, and evaluating results.
Mm.
We just need to adapt those skills to this new context.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I think the key takeaway is this. Don't let the hype or the fear surrounding AI paralyze you.
That's so important.
Instead, approach it with a sense of curiosity and a willingness to experiment.
Exactly.
Start by identifying areas in your work or your life where AI could be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Then do your research. Explore different tools. See what works best for you.
Right.
Don't be afraid to ask questions, to make mistakes, and to learn as you go.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
And it's one that we're all on together.
We are.
But by applying these principles of good management, whether we're dealing with humans or AI, we can navigate this new landscape with confidence and create a future where technology empowers us rather than replaces us.
And who knows, maybe one day we'll be managing entire teams of AI agents.
Right.
Just like we manage teams of human contractors.
That's a cool thought.
It is pretty wild.
Yeah.
The possibilities really are endless.
Yeah, they are.
So to our listeners out there, a huge thanks to Chris Tansey for giving us this new framework for thinking about AI.
Thanks, Chris.
And remember, the future is not something that happens to us. It's something we create.
We have the power.
So go out there and start building your digital dream team.
I love it.